Next question. I teach classes similar to what you're doing here and was wondering what you're using for this survey that I'm filling out. I would like to use it for my classes. These surveys are very helpful. Yeah, they are. The surveys, I use surveymonkey.com. It's all one word, surveymonkey, M-O-N-K-E-Y.com. It's very inexpensive. It's very powerful. You can do a lot of things with it. There's actually a free version, and I don't know what to – I've been paying for the paid version for 5 or 6, 7 years, so I can't even remember what's in the free version. But I do remember the free version is pretty powerful, and you can get a lot done just with the free version. The paid version, I don't even remember what I pay for it. It's $20 a month, $30 a month, something like that. But surveymonkey.com, yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, now our last question. And before we get to this last question, I want to tell you how to ask a question. Now, we're going to go to some live questions for a little bit. If you're dialed in, this won't work if you're on the webcast, but if you're dialed into AccuConference, if you press star 1, that will essentially raise your hand, and I'll be able to call on you individually. So go ahead and press star 1 right now, and that will get you guys queued up. And I'll be able to see you. Okay, I just got a note offline, a couple of notes. There's a frequently asked questions file on the main site, and in there's a link to the mind map viewer. But go watch the mind map tutorial. It looks like with the SurveyMonkey stuff, the free version, you can only have 10 questions total, and you can't download the results. So there are some limitations, but go check out the free version, and, you know, if you want to get the paid version, go for that as well. Okay, another question from Matthew in Sunnyvale. Jeff, if I want to launch 2 separate products to my list, how long should I wait between launches? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month? Or start another launch right away after the first one is over? Generally, I'd wait like at least 3 weeks. It really depends. I mean, usually what I do is I'm launching. I go for maybe like 3 big launches a year, so I'm usually waiting, you know, 3 or 4 months between launches. Well, at least between the launch dates. Of course, your pre-launch starts before that. But I would wait, you know, I'd give it at least 3 weeks before I went back into pre-launch. I mean, you could try 2 weeks, test it out and see, but you really risk fatiguing your list a little bit. So I would tend to wait, you know, 3 weeks before going back into pre-launch. Okay, so we got some questions here, and I'm going to start to go through them here. Basically, what's going to happen is I'll be able to unmute your line. I think you hear something. You'll hear like a little message that says you're unmuted. And then go ahead and tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and go ahead and ask your question. Okay, our first question is from a 917 area code.
Hey, Jeff. It's Leron. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was on a call with you on the Tony Robbins call you did a couple weeks ago, and I'd spoken to you about the raw food niche. I guess my question is, you know, when should I start my launch? I'm kind of getting some ideas, but do you suggest waiting the whole course to start the launch?
Oh, I see. We're in, That's a really difficult question. There's so many different variables, like, you know, your experience level, how many of these launches you've seen, how long your pre-launch is going to be, on and on.
I'm very inexperienced.
Yeah, I'd wait at least through the first 3 modules to get it rolling. So we're going to, you know, module 2 is this Friday, and then we don't have – I'm going to be releasing the full schedule soon. I'm not sure exactly when the module 3 will be, but that will probably be about 9 or 10 days after that. I'd at least go through those first 3, and you know you're going to have enough to really get rolling, and then you know at that point you'll be going through the course concurrently with your pre-launch, and I think you'll be fine if you get through the first 3 modules.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, next question is a 703 area code, and.
Hi, This is Lisa Marie Cabrelli calling Jeff, and I'm actually not in 703. I'm actually calling from NASA in the Bahamas.
Okay.
The question I have is, I'm actually trying to roll out a home party network that sort of goes in companionship with my e-commerce website.
Mm-hmm.
As I was going through module one, my target audience, you know, my perfect person that I documented for, you know, for that activity that you had in there, was a stay-at-home mom who is really about, like, being a mom, probably homeschools her children, you know, is looking for a part-time income, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In creating my story, which is what I was also working on, you know, today through the module, the story is kind of like, you know, I'm this person who broke free from the corporate world to sort of, you know, find herself so that she could spend more time with her children at home, and now I want to offer this opportunity to, you know, other mothers like me, sort of thing.
Great. Yep.
The question I have is, my husband and I were getting a discussion about how truthful I could be about my location. We do live in the Bahamas. We weren't sure if, well, he thinks that would turn them off, because these are like real traditional kind of mothers, and, you know, it would it be something that they would be turned off by, that, like, I'm out here in the Bahamas, you know, on the ocean, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I do. I don't think you need to mention that.
Okay.
You know, whether it will turn them off or not, I don't know. It will make them, it will certainly set you apart from them. You know, you'll be different from most of you. I assume you're selling to a general internet audience?
It's all in the States. Only States. And I was thinking maybe you could use it for, like, you know, hey, this is what you can achieve, sort of thing, even though it's not really what we achieved. I'm here for my husband's contract. But,
right.
You know, I didn't know if that would be a turnoff to them, because it's not really anything that they would probably want, you know.
Right. Yeah, I probably would avoid doing it. I mean, you know, I do think there's a potential that it could work, you know, in that, because a lot of people say, well, you know, is it going to work for me? Can it work where I live? And, you know, you could say, you know, the reality is, you know, it can work just about pretty much anywhere. I'm actually in the Bahamas. But so you could do something like that. But in reality, most people aren't thinking about where you live. You know, when
right.
you're out there teaching them and leading them, they're just going to assume, you know, you're in Kansas.
Okay.
You know, and so I just don't think you really need to, you know, go there.
So when I do videos and stuff, just make sure that it's, like, inside and nowhere where they can, you know,
yeah.
see.
Mm. Yeah, or, although, I mean, you know, frankly, I mean, you could be driving along next to the beach, and you could just as easily be in Southern California or Florida as the Bahamas.
True.
You know,
true.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the reality is you're in control of the conversation.
Oh.
And, you know, maybe one or two people at some point ask where you live. But,
right.
you know, you can answer them privately, or you can not answer them at all. Just, yeah, I probably would avoid it.
Okay.
Avoid that, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the advice.
Oh, you're welcome, Lisa. Okay. Next question. This is from a 604 area code. Hello?
Oh, hi, Jeff. It's Roy Prevost calling, and how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Jeff, I'm planning to do a launch of an e-book to I have a list of probably 3,500 people on my newsletter list. These are business owners, but they tend not to be they tend to be half and half on email. And a lot of them don't even open their email. Like, for instance, when I send out a newsletter, I get about 20% who actually open the email. Should I be doing offline or online launch of a book?
You should do – okay, first of all, 20% is not bad. I mean,
oh, okay.
A lot of people get a 20%. A lot of people get 10 or 5% open rates. And the other thing to remember is – the reported open rate is always lower than the actual open rate.
Oh, okay.
Say that again, just so everyone gets that. Your actual open rate is higher, always higher than what it says. And the reason is because, well, there's a few different reasons. But one is a lot of them are getting text email, and when they're looking at it text only, then it can't be measured in your open rate. And a lot of people are reading stuff in preview panes, and often that's not counted as part of your open rate. So your open rate is always higher. Second, that's not a bad open rate. But to specifically answer your question, you want to do an online launch. I mean, that's really what you want to do. If you can juice it, a great way to juice a launch is by, you know, since it sounds like you've got offline contacts, send them a postcard and get them to, you know, the postcard should drive them to a squeeze page that then squeezes them onto a launch list.
Okay.
The reality is like if you can get them excited, if a postcard can get them excited, you know, to go get a special report, and that special report can get them excited to about this upcoming launch, they'll change their habits. They'll start checking their email for you.
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
I went through Module 1, and I must say I was quite overwhelmed by the whole process. I mean, I found it, and I'm not a techie. I'm guessing that the rest of the modules will be less information and more strategy and tactics to move it along. I just kind of want to get a background on that.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. You know, the first one, I created that thing, and I probably went too big with it, but I really – you know, wanted to give people a real solid, you know, grounding. And, you know, as I look back on it, I'm like, boy, I probably should have made those videos shorter, and I probably should have made the whole module shorter. But I just really wanted to give people sort of, you know, a lot of people that get into it, and they want, you know, they're raring to go, and so I want to feed that. So
sure. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. So just before I take another question, we're getting a lot of questions coming in. See, we got John, my brother, and my partner in one of my businesses is in the background. He's monitoring all the questions coming in on our instant teleseminar thing, and so he's occasionally feeding me questions. And then Betty's off feeding me answers, and we got a three-ring circus going on here. So I got a few things coming in that I wanted to clear up. First of all, we've got some questions about AWeber versus ProFollow. ProFollow, ProFollow.com. That's my private label. I'm a big fan of AWeber. I really love them. I've been with them for, I think, 6 years now. About 3 years ago, I loved them so much that I went out and I had them create a private label of it for me. So the private label is essentially AWeber's services, AWeber's support, you know, AWeber's servers, AWeber's software, and all it is they put my name on it, which is ProFollow.com. And, you know, essentially if you go to ProFollow.com, I'll get an affiliate commission. But, you know, it's a way for me to brand my business and still offer their services. What I'm going to be doing as a benefit for signing up, and I haven't done this yet, but is now approached the very top of my list, is create some training videos that do some of the AWeber's got great training stuff, but I've figured out some of the dark arts of ways to do things in AWeber and ProFollow that I think a lot of people aren't doing. And so I'm just going to put together, this isn't going to be some massive video course, but it's going to show some of the ways I use it in my business, ways that other people, I haven't seen any other people that do the stuff I do. And it's not super complicated or rocket science. It's just me being in there and banging away at that interface for 6 years and figuring out how to do a few things that will increase the effectiveness. So either way, you know, you're going to get a great service whether you go with AWeber or with ProFollow. Obviously, since ProFollow is my private label version, I encourage you to go get that one. And eventually, when I put together these bonus videos, you're going to get those as an extra benefit for signing up. So that's it. And again, ProFollow, ProFollow.com, ProFollow. You get all the exact same service you would get with AWeber. It's just you get their same support people, their same servers, their same software, all the capabilities. It's just, it's my private label. And actually, that's one final thing. If you are at AWeber, you can switch to Profollow pretty easily. All you do, you just need to send their support an email and say, hey, I'd like to switch over from AWeber to Profollow, and they'll actually switch everything over for you, and then you'll get those bonus videos when I get them done, probably in another it's probably going to be at least a month or so. Okay, let's see. I think that sort of answers the whole Profollow question. Okay, let me go to my next caller here. Is a 604 number. Hello?
Hi, Jeff. You just answered my questions.
Oh, okay.
No problem.
I love it when that happens. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Okay, next question is an 847 number.
Yes.
Hello. Sometimes it takes a second for this mute and unmute to work.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
This is Joel Helfer from Northbrook, Illinois. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I just want you to know that I'm enjoying your course very much. I had a little concern about joining it because this is the most I've ever spent for a course before, but I'm finding it very worthwhile.
Good, good.
I've been in the Internet business about a year now. This is a completely new career for me. This is a second career, and I picked advertising as a niche. And I noticed you talked about forums is not a good place to advertise on for websites. And I was just curious where you thought was a good place to advertise websites.
Well, that's a good question that I haven't really thought about for a while. Yeah, forums are very valuable for a lot of things, but it's better to have a presence on a forum than to advertise on a forum. You know what? I'm completely stumped. I don't know how to answer that question.
I have a follow-up question to it. Is I have a website. I have a free coupon-based printable website, and I've been soliciting advertising from people in the local Chicago area. But I noticed a niche looking at all these different websites that Internet marketers don't do any type of coupon advertising or coupon code advertising, and I just wanted to know your opinion on building I'm in the process of building a new website called couponcustomer.com, and I just wanted to know your feeling on whether or not Internet marketers might be willing to advertise their products on a website.
Well, Internet marketers might be willing to advertise their products on a website. So, what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that there's a lot of people that are very reticent about buying products on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was in the process of doing is through all the different social media and coupons, getting recommendations on which are good Internet products to purchase, and then publishing all this stuff on a website. And then ultimately creating enough expertise or enough what you call authority where Internet marketers might want to be a part of it, because what we're doing is we're getting opinions, free opinions from people on what are good products to buy and what products have helped them either in their daily lives or their business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, first of all, Internet marketers are all about leads, and they all feel lead starved. So if you can generate leads for them, then they're going to love that. And I think targeted advertising, as you mentioned, on social networking sites right now is pretty inexpensive and can be very effective. Another thing you might want to think about is doing a review site. In which sort of sounds like what you're doing.
Yeah.
And review sites sort of have a bad rap right now because there's so many of them are like scams for, a lot of these diet scam people are doing review sites or fake blogs. And, those are just bad news. They're just, I'm sorry if anyone listening is involved, but, it's a pretty scummy world out there once you get into that. But, and I think they're going to run into regulatory issues very quickly. But if you do a real review site,
mm-hmm.
Which is what you're talking about, I think that can be a real win.
Yeah, because
I'd tie it into a blog or make it blog based, and I think that can be really effective.
Yeah, I purchased a domain name on GoDaddy called AdvertisingReview.com, and I was going to use it as a blog to begin this, and then I have a couple of websites that I wanted to drive people to by giving them honest reviews and getting other people's honest reviews of different products on the Internet and what they thought of them and if they had success with them and made money with them or not.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's good. I think, when you're having other people review stuff, you're gonna have to spend some time on quality control. And I think that might end up being one of your biggest issues. But otherwise, I think, real honest reviews, the world's crying out for them. Another thing, too, is most review sites, this is a big decision you're going to have to make, is most of them are affiliate-based. And so, do you take the high road and not be affiliate-based? And, then maybe have affiliate advertising other places or some other type of advertising? Or do you have the reviews be affiliate-based, then people are going to question your motives? So you have some decisions to be made there. I mean, if you look at sort of Yarrow over at Entrepreneur's Journey, I think he does a fantastic job of having a relatively unbiased blog that does review products and sort of tells his story as he goes through these products. But, he'll promote stuff on an affiliate basis and do really well promoting it. So, I mean, that's one I'd sort of model.
What is it? How is it?
Yeah. It's Entrepreneur's Journey. And I can't remember if there's a hyphen or not. But if you just Google Yarrow, Y-A-R-O, Starak, Starak, you'll find it. And he's got an unusual name. He's over in Australia. He's actually one of my top affiliates. He's a big fan of Product Launch Formula. And, I think he walks the line between, promoting affiliate stuff and giving honest reviews about as well as anyone.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I decided to take the higher road at the beginning and not have any advertising or affiliates, but just free reviews.
Right, right.
And I just thought that was a better way to start.
Yeah, well, I'm generally a fan of the high road, but it can be longer and slower that way. So, I just get into it and see how it's working.
Thank you very much. We'll look forward to module two.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, our next question is from the 360 number. Hello?
Hi, is Jeff. Are we on?
Yep, you are.
Okay, good. My name is George. I'm calling from Yelm, Washington. And I have a product for women. And what it is a super high-quality informational product, actually a series of them. The first one that we actually have done is one which deals with hairstyles and makeovers. Mm-hmm. Here's the question. I wanted to build a large affiliate network because I saw that if I had a lot of women's type sites involved in promoting the product, that would kind of like really be a powerful entrance point to getting the product distributed. Question is, if I wanted to approach people to become affiliates, I was listening to the earlier conversation on this call. We were talking about spamming.
Mm-hmm.
And just what are your thoughts on me individually, hunting the net, finding sites that I think would, be a good fit with what I've got, and approaching them with the information on the product and the request to, take a look at it to become an affiliate? What would be my best approach that would be non-spammy and, be a clean, effective way to do that?
Right. Well, first of all, there's a big focus on finding and attracting JV partners and affiliates in module two. So you'll get that in just a couple days. There's that whole spectrum of the spam world where there are literally people out there that think if you send me an email, then I don't know you, and there's some commercial intent behind it, then that's spam. I don't agree with that. I mean, I think if someone's out there publishing. They're in the publishing business. They've got a website out there. They've got contact information out there. I have a hard time seeing where sending them an individual targeted email is spam. I just don't think it is. However, sending them email is the least effective method. The most effective is going to be meeting them in person, The next most effective is going to be a FedEx package. The next most effective is probably going to be direct mail. Behind, next is going to be phone, and then finally email. So I don't want to sort of go through the whole entire everything here because, like I said, we've got a full-on 29-minute video next in the next module purely on finding and contacting affiliates. I think you're going to get your question more fully answered there. But, you know, what you're talking about is what you need to do. You need to find those the owners of those websites, that especially the ones that have lists, and then build individual relationships with them. And I don't think that is spam. I think that's business.
Okay, yeah, so that was the main thing. And my own thought on it was, even if I were to send out emails, it wouldn't be like a blast email,
right,
but I would really find sites that I really felt it was a fit for, try to get as much information as I could, study the site, and write them an individual letter, maybe commenting specifically on their site, why I thought it was a good fit, keeping it short, offering them a link where they could get more information if they had any interest.
Yep. Yeah. I don't see any problem with that at all.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks.
You're welcome, George. Okay, we got another one from an unavailable number.
Hi, this is Greg.
Hey, Greg.
I'm calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I have a sales training product for solo entrepreneurs, and I have a list that is 3 to 4 years old since they heard from me. I had some life stuff go on and some changes I had to make.
Yep.
And it's about 3,000 strong. How in the world could I go about it's in the same line. I have a small business portal, and I sent out a newsletter for about 6 years. It's a very loyal list, but how can I warm that list up?
It's really a lot simpler than you would think. I've done this over and over. In fact, I did it I think it was 2 months ago, to one of my ancient lists, not an internet marketing list. And I just went to him and I said, hey, you know, it's Jeff. I know it's been a long time since I wrote to you. Basically, you know, life got away from me, and I got involved with a bunch of other stuff. But I've got some really cool stuff that I want to be sharing with you in the next couple of weeks. And that was it. And then I basically said, you know, here's the first piece, and I gave him a nice article. And then I went overboard. I think I sent maybe 5 or 6 good, solid content pieces, and then I just started promoting. And, you know, it just wasn't a problem.
Okay.
You know, so it really is that simple. I mean, it's best, you know, just go back to them, and, you know, you'll have to make the decision on how much detail you want to go into, but basically say, hey, it's me, remember me, you know, I used to send
right.
you this, and I stopped because of, you know.
Right.
At that point, you can be as specific or non-specific as you want.
Sure.
But people are, you know, people are forgiving. And if they had that relationship, they'll remember you or
right.
they won't. If they don't, then...
I got a pretty unusual name. Either remember it or forget it.
Yeah. It's just not going to be a problem. This is a lot. Believe me, I've done this so many times. Everyone that's in business sooner or later has a list that they just let go cold. And it's just not that hard to warm them up.
Okay, a couple of follow-up questions then. How important, back in the day when I did it, I had I ran the mail off my own server, off my own domain. We ended up getting blacklisted. How important is whitelisting, and does AWeber do whitelisted server?
Yeah, it's hugely, hugely important. And AWeber, you know, one of the reasons I'm with them is they do the best in terms of deliverability, in my opinion. And services sort of come and go. And they get better and they get worse. And some one day, you know, 1 month of the year, you might find this service or that service has got better deliverability than AWeber, but then they go downhill. And AWeber, they're sort of Nazis about, you know, you can't just – they're not going to let you show up with a 3,000-person list and say, hey, I've got this list and can I import it? They will not let you do that. And the reason they won't let you do that is because – you're endangering sort of their ecosystem. Because if someone brings in a dirty list and AWeber starts to get blacklisted, then it's going to affect all their customers. So they're hardcore about this.
So I'd have to do that manually or something from my own
Yeah, what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to. Sending from your desktop is bad. Anyone who's considering sending from your desktop, I realize this was years ago when you did it, and back then it was different. But even then, you got into trouble with the blacklists. And so I'm sure there's a couple people on this call thinking that they can manage their stuff from their own server or their own desktop. And trust me, you can't. Like, I mean, there's the software AutoResponse Plus. I own it. I got a couple, licenses to AutoResponse Plus where you run it off your server. You can't do that in this day and age. You have to have full-time people making sure you get whitelisted, making sure your delivery's okay. So I know that
and that costs real money to get whitelisted.
Yeah, and real money and real full-time staff. I mean, it's not trivial. So anyone who's thinking about running off their server, don't do it. You got to go. I love Profilo and AWeber, but if you don't go with them, go with someone else. But someone, a real professional outfit. There's others out there. Email Labs, Constant Contact, on and on. There's others.
Right.
But so, Greg, what I think you need to do though is you need to go and still probably use, email. There's a couple ways. You can go to AWeber and ask them to import it, and then they'll send out an email to those people, and then those people will have an opportunity then to
opt in.
So that's one way you could do it. The other way you could do it is if you could get the email sent off your desktop, send it in batches of, 100 people a day or 200 people a day. And so in other words, take 2 weeks to a month to go through your list and then send them to a squeeze page that promises something cool. And that squeeze page is basically an opt-in form for AWeber or Profilo. That's the way to do it. So put together a cool report. Send them the sob story that, hey, this is Greg, I know it's been a long time, but, I'm back and I got some really cool stuff. And sort of as a make good for, dropping out of your world. And also, because I got to get, I'm going to start publishing my newsletter again. And but the thing is, I can't send it off my desktop anymore in this day and age. So I need you to go over here and sign up, to get this cool freebie thing. And then I'll also be sending you more cool stuff down the road. So obviously
okay.
That's not great copy I just spoke, but that's the overall message.
Yeah, I get the idea. That's awesome.
Cool.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, Greg.
Thanks.
Okay, next question. Another unavailable one.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Jeff, this is Brandon.
Hey.
And I've got, a couple of questions and some comments. For the fellow a couple of calls ago that was in the 847 area code in Illinois that was asking about lead generation,
mm-hmm.
I've been in the e-mini day trading and the stock market swing trading niche for a long time, and I've found that offline lead generation is some of the very best online leads that I get. Specifically, like right now, you can get space ads in newspapers pretty cheaply, especially if you go to a community that has a population of, say, 250,000 to 500,000 people, those newspapers are really, really hurting. And if you find out when their deadline is for the submission of their ads, if they don't have those ads filled up, then they're just going to give them away to public services. So you can get those ads incredibly cheap. And I found, for me anyways, that those work really well. And what I found interesting to me, I used to run the ads in the business section, and I had an okay response. And once then I called them up in St. Paul to the newspaper there, and I ran a space ad in the sports section, and that was the best response that I'd ever had. And so now when I run my ads, I just do them in the sports section, and it's within the niche that I'm in, it's incredibly an incredibly good place to run your space ad.
Cool.
So,
for
and then, what's that?
Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome.
And then a question about kind of switching where you're at. I've been in the stock market niche since 1998. I've been really successful in it. I do partnership agreements with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, speak at all the expos, all this stuff. 3 years ago was diagnosed with cancer and told I wouldn't be alive today. I had done really well, and I still have my stock market site, and I don't enjoy it anymore at all. Even looking at the stock market just doesn't even appeal to me before, which is something I couldn't have even imagined that being me 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped several people, though, do their own launches and kind of taking the template that I've used to build my business, and I've helped some other people that had existing businesses. And so I'm looking at getting into, I guess, a little bit of what you do, internet marketing or whatnot, but I have a lot of success in one place, but I'm completely unknown in another place.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you kind of, how do you take the credibility from one place and bring it to another?
You know, you're, so you're asking,
and you've done it, so I think you're the perfect person to ask. And you did it with even the niche I'm in. So.
Yep, it's funny. You're asking for my life story here. And,
yeah, I am, right?
So I mean, you know that I used to be in E-mini futures. That's
mm-hmm.
what that specifically. In fact, well, before E-minis, I was publishing about the big contract. And
yeah. If you want to do a JV with me, I got a huge list, Jeff.
I'm, of course, sitting on the shelves. That one day I gotta get back out there. But okay, so I'll tell you, and I actually went through the same thing where I just got bored with the stock market, and you know, I'll go weeks now without even looking at a chart, and so you're on the same journey, just about 4 years behind where I was, and so what I did was I went to a few live events, and the first live event I went to, well, it's actually Jay Abraham's event in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2001, I went to a Jonathan Mizell event. But then in 2003, I went to the first big seminar. And that's where I met John Reese and Jeff Johnson and Frank Kern and Ryan Dice and Jason Potash and Jeff Mulligan, all my buddies in the internet marketing space. And then I became friends with them, and then I actually started to help them out. I started teaching them, like Reese, you know, the product launch stuff I'd been doing. And, you know, and so this was 2003, and I was still in the stock market niche, and I was still going to, you know, I stayed in the stock market niche until mid-2005 and didn't get into the internet marketing niche until October 2005. So I spent 2 years sort of just showing them what I knew, because none of them had ever thought about any of this launch stuff, and you know, helping out. And like, for instance, like if you, like you've got obviously just what you've shared with the space advertising, you know, you actually obviously have great depth of experience. And I mean, you could go to, if you wanted to get into the business building teaching market, you know, the people, I'm in that market neck deep, and the one thing people respect is other people that are getting results and doing things and being creative. And so it's obvious you're there. All you have to do is go to one of these events and you know, hang out at the bar and strike a few conversations up, and you'll start to that's how you bridge it. You start to just develop relationships.
Okay.
At least, you know, that worked for me, and I think it would work for you. I mean,
okay, because I'm looking at going, I guess, Jeff Johnson has his event coming up in Detroit in
right.
about a month, I guess.
Right, yep.
And I have I'm recovering from some surgery, so I'll have to see if I can travel. But if I'm able to, I've planned to go to that, kind of make that my first first internet marketing shindig.
Well, that'll be a great one. It'll, you know, Jeff is a dear, dear friend of mine. I'm still on the fence about whether I'm going to be there, because you know, I would just go to that on general principle, just for Jeff, just by showing up, because he is, you know, a great friend of mine. And I'm also coming off about 5 weeks of nonstop travel, so I'm just not get on a plane right now. Oh, I haven't made it. So I might be there. I'd give it a 50-50 chance of me being there.
Okay.
It will be a good event, because it's going to be relatively small. I think he's got a cap of 100 people total, and Ryan's going to be there, and Perry will be there, and Evan is going to be there, and Jeff is always very available at those events. It's going to be very easy for you to make some contacts and just actually send me an if you decide to go, send me an email, and then I'll send a little introduction to Jeff, telling him a little bit about who you are. You know, Jeff has a background in the stock market as well.
Okay.
And so, you know, that way you'll walk in the door, he'll know who you are, and that'll just help you out a little bit. I'd be happy to do that.
Can I offer one more comment to people that are looking to get maybe some JV partners? This won't get you any big ones.
Sure.
But
yeah.
If somebody has a blog and they have AdWords on it and they're in your niche, they probably want to make a little bit of money. And even if they only have just a couple of hundred people, you know, on their feed burner, I've had some guys that, you know, I just did a launch, and I had a guy that only had like 274 people on his feed burner account. He did an interview with me, put it out, and he sold six, you know, he sold six of the courses for me. And so I don't know if you had this experience in the stock market niche. It's not really the most abundance mindset place where if you go to a lot of the big players and you ask for a JV with them, they think if you make a sale, then you're going to take one away from them. But I found that with a lot of these smaller people that just have little blogs, you can go to them, and it's kind of a pain because you end up managing a lot of JV partners. But you can get a bunch of people that will just do a couple of sales for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gives you some credibility, too, anyways. If you're starting off small and you don't have the capacity to manage a JV with somebody that has, you know, a list of 50,000 people or something, you can get several people that have smaller lists, and it's just something that's maybe easier for you to manage.
Cool.
So that's something maybe I don't know that at least this worked for me. I don't know how it would work for other people in their niches.
It's about getting singles instead of home runs. For the people
mm-hmm.
that know baseball, I'm sure there's a few people overseas that missed that analogy, but it's you know, baby steps, and what you're talking about there is baby steps, and it will, you know, it's not as sexy, it actually involves work, but that will work for you. So the people that are out there just don't know, you know, where do I start? Where do I get my first partner? That's a perfect example. And if nothing else, you're learning how to work with partners. I mean, it's like, and this is something Jeff Johnson taught me. He said, practice on your B clients. When I was first thinking about going to speak at my first internet marketing seminar, and I was asked to speak at one that, you know, there's two seminars going on, and one had this huge reputation and one didn't have a huge reputation. It was sort of a B-tier event, but I was asked to speak at this lower level event, and I said to Jeff, it's like, you know, should I go speak at that one or should I just go attend this big one? And he's like, no, you want to practice on your B clients. You know, don't practice on your A clients. You don't want to practice on that JV partner that's got 50,000 people on their list. You want to practice with the one that's got 250 people on their list. For the people that are just starting out, that's a great way to start.
Okay. Well, thanks. And the course has been great. I mean, it really has gone along with everything I've done, and I've learned a couple of things, too. And so it's been a great course, and so thank you for putting it together.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And, Brandon, send me an email, and you say I got a couple things to follow up with you on.
Okay. Just send it to Betty?
Yeah, or just to that jeff.plf@gmail.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, next question. Sorry, folks, for going long. I'll try to bring it to a wrap here in the next 8 minutes or so. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff. This is Karen from Temecula.
Temecula.
And I'm formerly of Lookout Mountain.
Lookout Mountain in
Colorado.
Okay.
Just outside of Golden.
I used to ride my bike up Lookout Mountain when I lived in Golden.
It's fabulous, but a little warmer over here. So I have a couple of questions for you. I am starting a site using your way of marketing. I've had a site online for 9 years that's just done SEO kind of stuff, and it's a women's site. Focusing on natural hormone replacement and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the second site that I'm going to do is going to have downloadable streaming videos that people will purchase of two TV shows I did with like the expert in natural hormones,
mm-hmm.
about how to balance your hormones and how to do hormone testing and what progesterone is and all that stuff. And as an upsell to that, I want to have the Ultimate Menopause Kit, which would have all kinds of products in there that we currently sell, but not in this kind of combination,
mm-hmm.
and not with the follow-up we would do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part of my question is, can I have a two-level commission? Can I have like 50% affiliate commission on the videos and then a lesser commission on the products, since it costs me way more to make the products? They're not all mine. Some of them I have to resell.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That's no problem. I mean, affiliates understand that with a physical product, the margin's often lower. So, yeah, that's no problem at all.
Okay. And what I want to do is transform that into, when you purchase this kit, the Ultimate Menopause Kit, you're signing up as part of the membership part of the site, where you would have a new product coming every month, your progesterone every 2 months, and then in the middle of that, different products, and then automatically scheduled hormone tests and stuff like that with a lot of support behind it. Is there a different way that I should market that part of it?
I don't think so. I mean,
okay.
it sounds like it makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then just open it up during certain times of the year so that it's not like so I'm creating some kind of scarcity that they think, well, I've got to get in there in order to get that participation.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Karen, that's sort of a, I've done it both ways, and, you know, to leave something open all the time and or to release it periodically. And, there's benefits both ways. But certainly, I know, like when I'm hearing you, I'm mostly thinking about John Gallagher, and he's the guy with the teaching about herbs and medicinal and edible herbs and plants. And, you know, I featured him. He was the featured person in the Food Stamps to Six Figures. And I've gotten to know John and a little bit about his business. And what he's doing is he's selling kits, like his herbal kit, you know, gets released monthly, and then he releases his membership site every 3 or 4 months. And it seems to be working really well for him. And that, to me, that market strikes me as, or not the market, but the products.
Mm-hmm.
Seems relatively similar to yours.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I mean, in general, I like that model. But just don't go into it thinking, you know, it's set in stone. Be willing to be flexible and test.
Okay.
So,
Before I hang up, I have one more question that's kind of a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find a good host, separate from my other sites, that has like really strong flash video streaming capability because of the first part of what I'm selling.
Yeah.
If you have any recommendations with that, and then
yeah.
A good affiliate program.
Okay, affiliate programs. I'm going to be covering that in coming modules. It's a big question. It's not an easy question. There's lots of considerations. I'll just tell you with the streaming, you don't want to stream stuff off your server. I never stream anything off of my servers. I'm streaming off of Amazon's S3 service,
uh-huh.
And so basically you're using the entire Amazon backbone. And then for this last launch, I started using one called Brightcove, BrightCove.com. They're more expensive than S3. I like their players a little bit better. And then there's others. Those are just two of them. But you don't want to stream. You don't want to be building. I mean, you have to build a massive machine, actually a network of machines, to be able to stream if you're getting any level of
okay.
traffic. So you definitely want to. And then, you know, the beauty there is you can use an $8 a month host and be streaming all kinds of video, because you're streaming off of someone else's server.
And with that, they're protected, right? I mean, because this isn't, I don't want people to then, you know, save them and ship them around, because that's what I'm selling.
Right. Well, the protection on S3 is not as robust as it is on Brightcove.
Okay.
And you can do sort of pseudo protection, but you know, Brightcove's better protection.
Okay. All right. Okay, and then the affiliate stuff, we're going to wait till another
month. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
If you could, hold off on that one, because I'm trying to wrap this call sort of, and I could go on forever on that one.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm just thrilled with getting involved with this, and you're fabulous.
Well, thank you, Karen. I love hearing that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, next question. This is... I think we're going to have Catherine from 650.
Hey, hello?
How you doing?
Good. How about you, Jeff?
Good.
Good. I have a product that I'm going to be introducing that's so kind of cutting edge. I don't think people will even know that they want it. they want the benefits maybe, but we don't have that kind of niche we don't have a...
You don't have make money or lose weight or have a better relationship. Those are...
Right.
Okay.
Our product helps people get healthier and stay that way by making it really easy to drink very healthy water.
Okay.
I'm passionate about sharing this with the world, but concerned that we're going against the trend by not picking a product that's market ready
right.
for the market.
Right. Okay. So obviously a launch is really the only way you can do something like this, because you're going to have to educate the market. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, and I'm not guaranteeing it's going to work, but this is your only chance is with a launch because of the educational aspects. Because, you know, in a launch, you can take time to educate your market. Really what you need to do is you have to get really clear on what this does for people. You know, get nitty-gritty and even, you know, beyond just giving them better health. It's like, what does that health, better health exactly look like? What does it do for them? What is it, you know, does it let them spend more time with their loved ones? Does it allow them to look better? Does it allow them to perform better at their job? And, you know, so you really have to get down to that kind of level and really go deep into the real, you know, the benefits of that people will get, the end benefits. You know, so, you know, it sounds like, you know, you've got a passion for sharing this information, for sharing this knowledge. You know, this is a change the world type of thing, and there's nothing wrong with a change the world type of thing, but you really have to make it very concrete for people. So that's going to take some time working through exactly, you know, what does this end up looking like in people's lives? You know, what are the things that really, the nitty-gritty impact?
We need to build, like, the social proof.
Yeah, but even beyond, you know, you might, I don't know if you can do social proof or regular proof, but really it's about the story. It's about what's,
okay.
It can be, you know, this is what it's done for me. This is how it's changed my life. And it's beyond, you know, it's not just, you know, yeah, every day I wake up and I feel great and I feel healthy. But that's, you know, let's talk about what it really does, how it really, you know, having more energy and being more alert. You know, I'm able to, you know, I used to have a 7-hour day and then my brain would shut off. And you know, now I'm feeling, you know, well into the evening, I'm bright, I'm alert, I'm able to be there with my kids, I'm able to be present for them, to interact with them. When I, towards the end of my day at work, I am still accomplishing stuff. I'm not muddle-headed. I'm feeling great. I've eaten less food, you know, whatever it is. You know, I don't know, you know, I'm just making all this stuff up. But
right.
You really have to take it to make it really feel tangible for people.
Okay, so, well, that basically answers the question. So,
okay.
Any kind of particular recommendations in terms of how to do that? I mean, more specifically, I don't know what I'm trying to ask here.
Yeah, say, you know, go through more the story stuff in module one, and there's more coming in module two, and I think you'll at least get clearer on what that question is. But it really, it's all going to come down to your story. And there is a lot of material, both in Module 1, but you'll really see how I follow it up in Module 2. And I think you're going to get a lot more to work with there.
Okay. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have two more questions.
Hello, Jeff.
Yes.
Hey, Jeff, it's Michael Griswold. How are you?
Good. How are you, Michael?
I am well. I have a quick question for you regarding the launch, and in particular, narrowing to the specificity of the market. Here's what I mean. I have in mind a product that would be delivered in the personal development area, and it has to do with vision and developing vision for businesses and for people in general. After doing some keyword research and whatnot, it's a bit esoteric. It's conceptual. You know, vision, it's not make money, lose weight, have a better relationship.
Right.
But I know that there are people out there who have tried this product or this service or this, you know, make my life better, but they always feel like they're putting a square peg in a round hole because they're trying to adopt someone else's system.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of learning what it is that is good for them and then integrating the ideas from that system into their own life. My question is, can you give me some advice on how to clarify that so that I feel like if I go to the market with something as conceptual as vision or self-actualization or something like that, it'll kind of fall on deaf ears.
Yep. Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep, I agree. I think, really, Michael, I think the answer is the exact same one I just gave. You know, you have to find a way to make it concrete. You have to force yourself, and all of us want to go to 100,000 feet level and be conceptual. It's just natural for all of us. But you have to bring it down to a very concrete level of exactly who it is you're going to reach and how you're going to change their lives and how, you know, specifically how their lives are going to change, how it hasn't changed in the past because they've done this other stuff. This stuff is going to take it and make it extremely concrete and show you how to take this material and fit it directly into your life so that when you get out of bed in the morning, you know exactly, you know, what the first thing you're going to do is and what the second thing you're going to do is because you've integrated this material into your life and exactly how your life is going to change. So you have to, you know, Evan Pagan calls this the avatar. You create that avatar of who your prospect, you know, that fictional person that is your prospect, and then you have to define who that person is and exactly how their life changed because of this.
So is it safe to say then that you start off with your prospect narrowly defined, but you end up bringing a much wider swath than just that person?
Right. Yep. You do.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
It's not easy work. It's not easy work, but it's if you want to take that type of product, and again, you know, it sounds like you got a little bit of change the world in you, which I'm not saying in a negative way at all. I love it, but it's not an easy sale, and it's not an easy thing to do. But unless you do that hard work to really make it concrete, you aren't going to change anybody. So stick with it, and I know you can get.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that it's hard work because being inexperienced in this aspect of things, when the answer doesn't come readily, I wonder, man, am I just way off base here?
Yeah.
I mean, am I totally missing it or what?
Yeah. You'll see, like, and I hate to keep saying this, but like, I'm going to show how to do this to an extent in module 2 with real world examples, and I'm hoping that'll help you along that road.
Brilliant. Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. We are to our last question. We've got a 208 number.
Hello?
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 Go on.
Hi. This is Nancy in Sagal, Idaho. Appreciate the call time.
Sure.
Jeff, if you use AWeber, do you do a backup for your list somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. We're built right into, you know, right into their main... I forget where it is. It's in the manage lists. There's a thing to back up, and you just click the button, and it just backs up all your lists, all your leads,
okay.
All the emails that you've ever sent them. It's just a one-button click, and then they'll send you an email when it's ready, and then you just click through and download it. And, you know, I do that, you know, couple times a week. I'm
okay.
Paranoid about that.
Great, good. I have one more question.
Okay.
I just sent you an email, or Betty an email, just for you to consider and chew on. Somewhat like the last call, our work is we're a nonprofit and we're shifting over to creating revenue instead of giving our services away. So this is a really different mindset for us. And you had mentioned on the very first call the possibility of the application of this approach to the nonprofit world. And I just wanted to ask you to think about maybe a conversation on how you could use our work to expand this conversation in the nonprofit world, because, boy, we need you.
You know, I'll tell you what, Nancy, I've got something cooking in the back of my head on this entire nonprofit thing, and I'm not sure where it's going to go, but I am going to be doing something in that world and figuring out how to bring this to that world.
Okay. Well, I just want to raise my hand. If you want to adopt us, we'd be happily your stepchild. You can adopt us.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. I went about an extra 40 minutes, maybe 60 minutes. A little longer than I expected, but I think we had some good questions. So we'll be getting the recording for this up real soon, and I'll send an email about where you can get that recording. And I'll be also sending an email about our upcoming schedule. We'll be releasing the next module in just a couple days. And that's about it. Thanks for listening, for dialing in. Thanks for your questions, your participation, and we'll look forward to the next one. Bye-bye.